And that song is so scriptural. That song is really very, very scriptural. I thought I had glasses. Would you go to my office in my center drawer? I can read my notes without the glasses, but I can't read them as well as I can with glasses. So, but we'll go ahead while she gets my glasses and do the introduction. The verse that we're going to look at tonight is 1 John 3:1. And let's read that. Let's read that verse. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Now, there's a lot of times that we talk about the love of God, just like we knew what we were talking about. But you know, it wasn't until I began this study of 1 John 3:1 that I began to realize what John was telling us in this simple first verse. John spent 3 years with Jesus. John began to comprehend what the love of God really was. And just like the song says, neither tongue nor pen can tell. It is not possible for us to explain to anybody, let alone our own selves, thank you, honey, to explain what and how the love of God works. The love of God is so big, and it encompasses such a large part of life, life in Him, that we haven't even begun to understand what it is. We talk about people who just get saved, who would be considered babes in Christ. As I began to think about the love of God, it turns out that I'm actually a babe in understanding. I'm just like you, just like everybody else. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But when it comes to the love of God, I can't begin to comprehend it. The love of God, the song says it reaches to the farthest star. Frederick M. Lehman wrote the hymn, "The Love of God." In the chorus of the hymn, he wrote, "O love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong." He makes a statement that the love of God reaches to the furthest star. I can't tell you, I can't even begin to comprehend how many billions of light years away that star is. And God's love reaches out that far. Love is something that God made that actually does have a substance. One of the things that He made before we were, before we ever existed, He loved us. God in eternity loved us. Love never dies. It never ends. It has no end. It is eternal. You can love somebody in the same room. You can love somebody across the room. You can love somebody across the ocean. And we've all experienced that. In fact, you can love somebody after death, after they die. You can still have love in your heart for them. And it's just as real as when they lived. Love is eternal. Real love. We're not talking about a physical relationship. We're talking about a spiritual thing that God created called love. And it has a substance. Love, God's love for us, includes His mercy and His grace. And it's sort of hard, it's impossible to describe it. That's why the psalmist wrote, you know, if every stalk on earth was a quill and the ocean were a reservoir of ink, we could never write enough about the love of God. As we think about it, our minds begin to expand. How can we, sitting in this small sanctuary, talk about the love of God that is bigger than this? It's bigger than the world. It's bigger than the universe. It reaches even further than that. And yet it is real. It is real. If it wasn't real, why, when a loved one is hurt or in jeopardy, does our heart hurt so badly? Why do we feel ill when a loved one is in jeopardy or when a loved one dies? Because love is real. Love has substance. Now, like I said, it includes God's grace. And God's grace, there's all kinds of cliches about God's grace. Some say it's God's righteousness at Christ's expense. That's just a cliche. That doesn't begin to explain what God's grace is. I can't explain it. All I know is that He has poured it out upon me, and He's poured it out upon every one of you. And I'm so glad. I would hate to try and live my life without the grace of God being poured into it, day by day, moment by moment. It's greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. Sometimes, and some of you may have experienced this, again, we're thinking about the opening verse, 1 John 3:1, where it says that we should be called the sons of God. In this life, in this world, there are times when we connect with other families to the point that their kids are like our kids. Our kids are like their kids. And what happens to one of them happens to us. And that's sort of the way that this verse where it says that we should be called, you know, God bestows a love upon us that we should be called His children. We become not a stepchild. We're not a cousin. We become part of the family of God. Now, we've been singing that song for at least 3 years. Some of you should know it by now. Do you realize how real that is? Do you realize what a privilege that is? To be a part of the family of God. Now, I've never been involved in adoption. Some of you have. I've never even been close to adoption. But one of the things that I've heard about adoption is that sometimes a child, when it grows up and gets older, wants to know about its birth parents. And they go seeking after the birth parent. And yet, I think about the parent who has done the adopting. What drives a person to that? What drives a person to go out and adopt a child that needs a home? Or a child that is without a family? What drives a person to that? The family hasn't known that child heretofore. Normally, they might hear about them, but that's the beginning of the relationship. Yet God loved each one of us so much that before we were ever born, before we were ever part of this world, He loved us. Now, I like to be loved. I've told you before, I like hugs. That's just a little tip of the iceberg of what love is all about. I like it when my wife gives me a hug. I hope she likes it when I give her a hug. That's nothing compared to how God loves us. Love has to play a great part in the process of adoption. God has adopted each one of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Father. Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 15 and 16 say this about God adopting us. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That word, Abba, is translated in English, Daddy. Can you imagine the Creator of the world? You're standing before Him, and we cry out, Daddy, I need this. Daddy, get me one of those. Daddy, please don't spank me. I didn't mean it. Really? That's all part of the relationship that we have to God. Now, we're talking about love. We're talking about what we feel. We're talking about our side of it. But I want us to flip the coin. I want us to think about our relationship to God rather than His relationship to us. Knowing that He loves us, knowing He's going to take care of us, He's going to do everything we need to have done, I want us to begin to think about why. Now, after I married my wife, I took her home to meet my parents. They had never met her. I'd been away at school. And it was sort of, you know, look, Dad, what followed me home, can I keep her? And it didn't matter what he was going to say, I was going to keep her anyway. But God loves all of us so much that He adopted us as blood-bought children. Jesus Christ is God. When Jesus Christ shed His blood on that cross, that was God shedding His blood on that cross to cover our sin. And He did that out of love. I've heard that it's somewhat expensive to adopt a child. Think of what God paid. He made the ultimate sacrifice. He paid the ultimate price. Romans 3:25 tells us, whom God hath sent forth to be a propitiation, that's a payment, through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now, 2 weeks ago, we saw John write about the same event in 1 John 2:2, and it says, He is the propitiation, the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. God paid a big price to be able to adopt you and I as His children. Why would He do that? 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for His sins. Here we are back to the love of God. His love reaches the uttermost part of the earth. Where can you be in this world and not experience the love of God? Nowhere. Even in hell, His love reaches out. His love reaches everywhere. There is no place that we can hide from it. If you are on the space station, His love reaches the space station. There's no limits to where His love reaches. And God, at some point, was willing to pay whatever price was necessary that we might, you and I, experience His love. So let's take a minute or two to think about love. We know that it's eternal. real love, the kind of love it talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll look at that in a minute. If we can love someone who has departed this life, cannot God love us while we are alive? 1 Corinthians 13, love chapter, verses 4 to 8 says, "Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not, love vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up, it's not proud. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But love never will." God's love will never vanish away from our lives. Now, do you think that it was an accident that God loved you? Why would he do that? John tells us in chapter 4, verse 8, he says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Again in 4:16, he tells us in 1 John 4:16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Again, we've been talking about God loving us and the benefits we get from that. If we're going to think about love and we're going to flip the coin, we're going to have to give some thought to why did God bestow upon us his love? Why did God bestow upon us his love? Why did he give it to us? Was there a purpose behind it? It tells us love is, you know, not interested in itself. God gave us love for a reason. And that's the part of it we want to look at tonight in the time that we have here. According to these statements, the essence of God is love. When we look at the Holy Spirit, what's the first thing we talk about, talking about the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Let's not get into any of those others right now. And again, when we talk about love, we are not talking about a physical relationship. We are talking about a spiritual relationship that God wants each one of us to have. Spiritual things do have substance. If not, why does our heart break when someone we love does something against us? If there is no spiritual substance to love. Why does it wrench our heart when we see a loved one experiencing great difficulty? Oh, we can't hold it in our hands. The only place that we can hold love is in our heart. So, we want to think about the question that John asked. This is one verse that John has written out of all the verses, and he uses a word that is of, when I began to realize what he was asking, it just blew me away. What manner of love did he bestow upon us? What manner, what kind of love? Why did he give us that love? When we were formed in our mother's wombs, we had a kind of love. It was a self-love. We all have it. As we get older, as we mature after our birth, the first real love that we experience is self-love. Feed that baby or it's going to cry. Change the wet diapers or it's going to be uncomfortable and cry. It has nothing to do with you. It's all in that baby. And we grow up that way, thinking of me. But God gave us something more. And that's the thing that we need to consider tonight. It's not until we accept the Lord Jesus Christ that we are indwelled by God's Holy Spirit. And when he indwells us, the first part of the fruit that he brings to us is love. That is not to be self-love. The measure of the Christian is how much he loves others. And the manner of love that God bestowed upon us was a love not for our benefit, but as a tool. Love becomes a tool that the Christian is to use for the benefit of the entire world. Now, my mind won't comprehend the whole world. I've got my own little circle. So do you. Yet, there is enough love in your heart that no matter how many people you meet in this life, you have enough of God's love to pour a measure of it into their life. And that's what it's all about. The love is not for our benefit. The love is a tool that you and I are supposed to be using for God. Everywhere we go, everybody we meet, it doesn't matter what they look like, what they smell like, we have a love that God has put in our hearts to pour into their life. If we are concerned about how they smell, you know what kind of love we're using? self-love. Oh, I don't want to be near that person. They smell funny. Oh, I don't want to be near that person. They're dirty. They're crippled. They're diseased. But God has given us a manner of love that we are supposed to be using for His ministry. And we cannot use that for ourselves. It has to be used for somebody else. First Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And that is our message to the entire world. To the grocery clerk that checks us out at the grocery store. To the waitress who serves us our lunch or our supper. To the girl behind the cash register at the gas station. God has given each one of us a measure of love. And this is what John is talking about. I just never realized it before. Jimmy was talking this morning in Sunday school about reading a passage of the Word, and it says one thing to you, and you read it again sometime later, and suddenly it speaks volumes of things you have never seen before. And it just got a hold of me. The measure of love that God has poured out for each, that He's bestowed upon each one of us. He gives us the ability to love other people. And loving other people is what's going to bring us into His service. It is so easy for me to love me. And I'm sure that every one of you find times when you do love yourself. You want what you want, when you want it, and how you want it. But that's not what God has given. God has given us a measure of love. Not for us to hoard, but for us to pour out into other people's lives. Connie and I, we're part of Gospel Fellowship Association right now. And that's a mission. They've got 100 and some different countries are represented, and 200-300 people out there serving the Lord. Particular ones that we've known for probably 30 or 40 years. And I can use their names because you don't know them. I think of a young lady by the name of Norma Helly, who went to Mexico as a 21-year-old young lady. She had prospects. Her whole life was ahead of her. But the love that God had given her a measure of, she invested for Jesus Christ among the Mexican people. Her hair is gray now. She has been there serving for decades. Not marrying, remaining single. I think of all the young ladies that are involved in the mission that we're involved with, who are single. Look at Sarah. You've met her. What has she got to offer someone, a young man? Everything. And yet, she is willing to take this measure of love that God has given her to the Philippines and to pour it out there into the Filipinos' lives. And I think of so many dedicated young women in the mission, in the home office, that will serve their life there for Jesus Christ, not because of self-love, but because they have taken the measure of love that God has poured out for them, bestowed upon them, and invested in other people's lives. People, that is what God is asking of each one of us. Oh, it's great that he loves us, and I'm so glad he loves us. Like I said, I like hugs. I like people to love me. You like people to love you. But there's another love, and it's real. It's not physical. It's spiritual. And that is the manner of love that God has given to each one of us. Just look at what John says. Behold. And that word behold means look at it and see. Behold. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon them? No. Has bestowed upon us. And there's not a person seated in this auditorium tonight. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that love has been bestowed upon you when the Holy Spirit indwelled you, and that is right now in the center of your life. Not for your benefit, but as a tool. As a tool to use for everybody else. That's one of the neat things about this church. You people love good. You do. But we're all human. And we're going to love us. But we all have that love too. That manner of love that God has poured out, bestowed upon us to be used as a tool. When I was younger, I loved tools. My wife still shudders every time I go through a tool department at Lowe's or Home Depot. In fact, she's usually got me by the right hand, or I've conditioned her while we were down at the camp not to walk on my right side, because that was my gun side, but to walk on my left side. So she sometimes grabs me by the left arm so I can't reach my wallet. And when we walk through the store. Because if I'm looking at tools, oh, I could use that. Man, I don't have a hammer like that. Look at that screwdriver. It's got 27 different blades. Doesn't have the one I need for the motorhome, but it's got 27 blades. God has done the same thing with his love. He has given it to each one of us. Not for us, but for them out there. for all the people that we're going to come in contact with this week. Can you love them? There's people all over this country that you know about. People that you probably strongly disagree with. The things that they're doing. And yet, God says, here is this manner of love. Love them. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Isn't that what Jesus said? Because it hadn't happened yet when he made that statement, when he said, pray for them that despitefully use you. Love your enemies. He hadn't died yet. The Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. But when the Holy Spirit came to this earth on the day of Pentecost and he indwelled believers, God gave every believer a measure of his love. And no matter how much any of us love other people, we will never, ever run out of love. The more we love, the more love he's going to give us. And if we can come to a point where we do love some of the strange folks that live in the Washington, D.C. area, he will help us. And we're not wasting it because he gave it to us to do that with. Yes, there are times when we want to use imprecatory prayer. That means that we're asking God to get somebody out of our way. But if we will love, God will continue to put that love in there. You know, there are people who don't love. There are people who are very selfish. We had a neighbor when I was growing up as a kid. They did not want us on their front lawn. Get off my lawn, kids. I'm going to tell your mother. That's one thing. Get off my lawn, kid. I'm going to tell your father. Ooh. Daddy can spank better. I trust none of us will be like that. That is not the kind of love that God gives. The kind of love that God gives is the kind of love that is going to reach out for the benefit of the other person and give them what they need. If we are praying for the people of our government who are up in opposition to what we believe. In fact, they're in opposition to Christianity. They're in opposition to this book. But if we will love them, if we will pray for them, is God so weak that he can't reach out? I've seen him change hearts. You know how I know he changes hearts? He changed this one. And he changed a lot of your hearts. Can you imagine what kind of a testimony it would be if some of those people who hate Christians so badly right now got saved? Wow. What would that say for our God? folks. John says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And I would ask you, what manner of love has He given you and put in your heart? Are you hoarding it? Or are you pouring it out like He intended? If we're not investing that love, people, in other people's lives, we need to ask ourselves if we're really of the family of God. Because you see, when the Holy Spirit indwells a born-again believer, they are filled with that love. Many of you, when you got saved, the first thing you wanted to do was go tell somebody else. Your family, your loved ones. Because suddenly you had a love you haven't had before. A new manner of love. A kind, one thing love does, love has to be demonstrated in some way. I try not to let a day go by that I don't tell Connie I love her. And she tries to let a day not go by that she doesn't tell me that she loves me. That's words. Words are cheap. But if I see a trash can full of trash and I close it up and take it out and put it in the dumpster, put a new trash bag in the can. I didn't do that because it makes our motorhome smell funny. I did that because I love her. And it's the way I can show her that. And when she does the laundry, when you ladies do the laundry, you're showing your husbands, I love you. Think about this, people. God has given each one of you a measure of love. It is not for your benefit. If you think it is, you are wasting it. It was given to you to be a tool. Find a place to put the tools to work. And let's see what happens. I believe God's going to start doing some fantastic things right here at Coastal Shores. And it won't be because of you or me. It'll be because of Him. Because He's God. But one of the things that will be involved in it will be the manner of love that He has bestowed upon each one of us. John asks the question, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us? Tonight I would ask you the same question. Let's pray. Father, forgive me for the times that I haven't loved like You expect me to. Forgive all of us, Father, for the times that we have not reached out with your love and shared it in the lives of those around us. Father, may your Holy Spirit in this week to come keep each one of us aware of the manner of love you have given us for all these folks. And Father, help us to reach out in love and demonstrate your love for them, that they might realize your love. All we can do is ask you to use us. So, Father, use us. Help us to love more effectively. Help us to love more fully. Help us to love those we have not loved yet. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.